living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8. There's Bibles underneath your feet if you don't have one. Or down by your feet. Upstreamers, first to fifth grade. You want to head to the back, you got class back there. All right, Luke chapter 8, 22 to 25. Back in 1995, a friend of mine came to me trying to do his duty for his service club and begged me to buy a couple of raffle tickets. So I had pity on him and bought a couple of raffle tickets for $75 a piece. The raffle came along, and he called me the day after, and he said, "You won." I said, "Well, what did I win?" He said, "A Caribbean cruise." No joke. So in the fall of 1995, Lori and I embarked on a seven-day, seven-night Royal Caribbean cruise, which was like a second honeymoon for us. We got picked up by a limo outside of our home in New Palestine, taken to the airport, flown down to Miami. We got on this huge boat with about 3,000 people. We went to Jamaica, Cozumel, where I did some amazing snorkeling, Grand Cayman. We cruised the open ocean, had great meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, it was just absolutely amazing. Great entertainment, lots to do when we docked. You know, we were 6 years into our marriage, and God blessed us with a second honeymoon. The only hard part about it was leaving Casey and Garrett behind, who were the only kids we had at the time. They were 3 and 1. So it was kind of tough to be apart from them. But I'll tell you this, I recommend cruising if you've never done it before. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Now I'm going to say something that I don't know if it's true or not, but it sounds true, so I'm going to say it. The only thing better than cruising the Caribbean is cruising with Christ. The only thing better than cruising the Caribbean is cruising with Christ. Now this passage of scripture that we're about to read, it is another supernatural, mouth-dropping, eye-popping, mind-blowing, faith-building event that we're going to read and remember and believe that, you know, God is who he says he is right here in these passages. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get in the boat with Jesus and the disciples this morning, and we're going to learn some essential truths for cruising with Christ in our life. So let's start by reading it. Verses 22 to 25. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came on the lake and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning, and just the amazing story that we've just read about Jesus and the disciples in the boat. There's so many takeaways for our life this morning from these words. And so, Lord, I pray that you take my words and you'd filter out things that don't need to be heard, and you'd zoom in on things that do need to be heard in people's lives. It'll be different for everyone. But, Lord, use this word today to encourage us, to strengthen us, to call us and to send us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first truth in these verses, and it's in verses 22 and 23, it's kind of rooted in there, is adjust wrong expectations. Adjust wrong expectations. And when Lori and I got picked up by the limo, you know, we had some pretty high expectations about what we were going to experience on this cruise. You know, we knew there was some awesome meals, food, fun, you know, things to do like that. We knew all of that was coming. We knew there was adventure. We knew there was towels going to be folded into the little animals on our beds that was turned down at night. You know, we knew that. We knew all that was coming. Now, what we didn't expect, that we would have to deal with a little seasickness, you know, and that we would have to manage crowds and, you know, some activities there around lots of people. And we didn't quite expect the biggest gratuity that we've ever given to anyone before or since that day. You know, that was there too. So, you know, I say having the right expectations when we go into something is really important. I mean, if you think about vacations and planning and preparing for vacations, and you know, there's so much that goes into that, and we have these expectations, and if our expectations don't get met, we can come away going, oh man, that was kind of disappointing. That was a bummer. Well, the same goes for our life with Christ, for cruising with Christ. If our expectations aren't right, there's confusing water ahead. And it's going to be difficult for you to have a life with God in time with your Savior. So look here, when the disciples got into the boat, I mean, you read that first verse. It sounds like, you know, they're just going for a nice little cruise, you know, across the lake. And it sounds like calm and Jesus goes to sleep. You know, I'm ready to jump in the boat. I mean, this is like the brochure, the cruise. You know, come on with your Savior. Take a cruise across the lake. You know, just get to be great. Come on. I mean, I'm sure the disciples were not expecting that this major life-threatening windstorm was going to be hitting them when they set sail. Now, when we get into the boat with Jesus, it's just like verse 22. You know, it's just like that they did that. We trust God with our lives, and then we have a lot of expectations about what life with Christ is going to be like. Now, some of those expectations come from the world that we live in. That we live in America, we're in a very prosperous country, and there's a prosperity message that is going over the airwaves every single day of every day of the year on TV. It's called the prosperity gospel. It's like you believe in Jesus and you're going to get blessed with health and wealth. You're going to be granted favor. It's going to be smooth sailing. That's the message that's heard. And then just we can get expectations because we become a child of God. We're his son, we're his daughter. And, you know, so we can believe that God's going to just bless us in our life. And he's going to send grace and favor to us. And it's going to be smooth sailing while we walk this earth. Those are wrong expectations. There's three adjustments we need to make to that kind of attitude, those expectations. Three adjustments for cruising with Christ. And they make a ton of difference for how we respond to things that come up as we're in the boat with him. First of all, cruising with Christ is not a life of ease. It is not easy. It takes work to be in the boat with Jesus. You have a relationship with God, someone that you really can't see. You can't experience, you can't see him. And think about how our relationships with each other take work. You know, they take time, they take investments of love. There's a lot of work that goes into our relationships. Think about having a relationship with God. Same thing, it takes work to know him. Jesus tells us that if anyone would come after me, he must pick up his cross daily, deny himself, and follow after me. He must be his disciple. That's life with Jesus. Picking up your cross and denying yourself means every day we're going to die. We're going to die to our own desires and to our own selfish ways. Last week, 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to love people with an others-oriented kind of love, putting people ahead of ourselves every single day. So that's people we live with, people in the grocery store line, people in our neighborhood, people at work, people at school. All those people we want to put first, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've done to us. Nothing easy about that. And here's the good news. It doesn't get any easier the longer you're with Christ. In fact, it's harder because you see more opportunities to do it the longer you're with Jesus. Last Saturday night, February 13th, was a historic weekend at our mom church, Brookville Road. I went and attended service there on Saturday night and witnessed the passing of a leadership baton from Pastor Hubert Nolan to Pastor Chris Sorensen. Now, Pastor Hubert Nolan, he's been the pastor there for 33 years. And he led the church from around 50 up to about 120, back down to 50, and then on to around 1,000 today. And it was a big deal to witness that transition. You know, Pastor Hubert has been one of the most influential men in my life. He has taught me how to pray. He's taught me how to believe God. He's taught me how to be a fool for him, to love him when it's hard to keep on going, keep on believing. He's taught me all of those things. And I love Pastor Hubert more than he probably knows, because I wasn't as good to him as he was to me. But, you know, he is an amazing man of faith. Now, he's going on this new adventure with God. He's going to plant a church. It's going to be called the Hope Center. And they're going to be, it's going to be this, it's a big undertaking to reach the least of these kind of people, the down and out kind of people, and try to introduce them to Christ and then break this cycle of poverty in their lives. And so they're on this amazing adventure trying to figure out how to do that. I'm looking forward to seeing how God leads him and provides for him. I'm looking forward to seeing how our church can be a part of that. It's going to be a good ministry to be a part of. Now, his message on Saturday night last week was about John the Baptist. And what John said to his disciples about Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, there was nothing easy about handing over the baton of leadership to someone else of a church you've been at for 33 years that's 1,000 members strong. There's nothing easy about that. Pastor Hubert was on the decrease. And when he passed that over to Chris, he had tears streaming down his face, and he just told Chris this advice: stay on the decrease. Stay on the decrease. And so it was just an amazing moment for me to be there, because that's what cruising with Christ looks like. It's Pastor Hubert taking his gifts, his talents, his faith, going into unknown waters with mountains sticking out of them, leaving behind a platform that he could preach at every Sunday if he wanted to, and going out off into the unknown. He was on the decrease. That's the gospel in action right there. There's nothing easy about receiving that baton either. So I've been praying for both of those men. They're both in my prayers. Now, Paul wrote, "We walk by faith and not by sight," in 2 Corinthians 5:7. And there's nothing easy about that either. Nothing easy about walking by faith. Now, this Daring Faith Challenge is going to be just that. It's going to be a challenge for us. It will not be easy for us to get more serious about giving our life to God because of who He says He is. And so there's going to be a lot of encouragement to grow in our faith, to grow in our connecting and our growing as a church, and our giving, to grow in our going. You know, all of those messages are coming. And listen, I want to ask for your prayers today, right now, for me. And I covet them because I want to be able to lead us well through those weeks. And this is going to challenge me, just like it's going to challenge you. And it's going to call me to step out first among us and to step out further than I ever have before in our lives. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how God does that, because I know that He's out there waiting. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy on us. So please pray for me. Feeding our faith, just growing in our faith, there's nothing easy about that. We do that with the spiritual disciplines. I don't know, when you think of the word discipline, do you think hard or easy? nothing easy about discipline. And that's how it is in our life with our God and feeding our faith. You see, we get in the Word and we pray and we serve and we connect in fellowship with each other and all those things. All those things are not easy. I mean, I was thinking about coming to church. You know, if you've ever had little kids and you try to go to church on Sunday morning, it's not easy. I mean, somehow everything goes crazy on Sunday morning. But then you get here. Right? And everything we do is hard. And we sing together. You know? We pray together. And then you listen to the Word for 45 minutes. All those things are hard, but they're all spiritual disciplines. And they all help us connect with our God. So making our cruise with Christ, you know, I was thinking about this. Making that a priority in our lives, you know, walking with Jesus, that's hard to do. Because we have to say yes to God with our lives and a lot of things. And that means we got to say no to other things. And some of those things are good things. And that's not easy to do. It's very difficult. So this is not a life of ease. Cruising with Christ is also not a life of comfort. It's not a life of comfort. We live in this fallen world. It's been impacted by sin and death. And so we see that a lot. We wear these fallen bodies, these tents that are wearing out. And so we get sick and we get tired and we get old and we die. You know, none of that's easy. None of that's comfortable. So suffering is a part of our life here. And it's a part of our life with God. And one of the great mysteries of our faith is, how can a good God, a good, all-powerful, all-knowing God, let suffering happen like it does in our world? You know, how could God let the Zika virus infect so many people and then babies born without brains? How could he let that happen? How could he let 10,000 refugee children get lost from their families? How could he let that happen? How could he let floods and tornadoes and disasters from creation impact lives, people dying, lives turned upside down? They're just headlines to us, but they're disasters for people. And we read this story and we see our God with a word able to quiet that stuff out. You know, just, it's gone. How could he do that? I don't know. None of us has the answer to those kinds of questions. And every day, today, we'll get more headlines that tell us, you know, what's going on in the world. Questions that come up every single day, every single week. Life in this world is not going to be comfortable. And listen, for the Christian, in many ways, it's worse than for the unbeliever. Because we not only have to deal with the suffering from creation, we also have to deal with our enemy, Satan. And believe me, he's active. Start praying against Satan as we prepare to go through the Daring Faith Challenge. Pray against him because he will get busy. Anytime we try to take more ground in our hearts and give it to God, he'll get busy. So start praying against him. And there's all kinds of suffering that happens at the hands of Satan in our lives. You know, Job's experiences, if you go read what happened to Job, the hands of Satan, same things happening in our lives every day for the life of the believer. So this is all reality for us. Cruising with Christ means increased suffering for us in our lives, as we walk by faith and not by sight, taking a cruise across the lake with the Savior. Now, why in the world would anybody say yes to Jesus if this is what they're looking for, a difficult life with a lot of suffering? Why follow him in the first place? Because of this right here. Cruising with Christ is not a life alone. It is not a life alone. Through every single second of every single minute of every single day of every single year of your life, every tear, every groan, every cry, every ache and pain that we experience, Jesus is present right there with you in the boat. And that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. But it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget that. I mean, the disciples forgot it. The storm is raging around them. It's a dangerous storm. Their lives are in danger. They're fearing for their lives. They forget that Jesus is sleeping in the boat with them. This is the one they have seen raise dead people up to life to cure every disease that ever comes his way. He never got stumped. He doesn't practice medicine. He performs it. He heals people. He has the authority to speak the words of God, and people listen and they get convicted and they come to faith. They've witnessed all of these things. That's who was sleeping in their boat, and they forgot it. You know, storms raging all around you. The suffering is intense. Isn't it easy to ask, God, where are you? Isn't it? Isn't it easy to ask that question? But cruising with Christ means we are never alone. Never. It doesn't matter what we see. It doesn't matter what we feel. The truth is, he said he will never leave us or forsake us. That's the truth. Right there. Kayla Mueller, a 26-year-old, was captured by ISIS. And on February 10th, 2015, U.S. officials confirmed that she had been murdered by the Islamic extremists. In the spring of 2014, she, as a captor, wrote a letter to her family. And it began with the assurances that she was being treated well, she was in a safe location, she was healthy. And then the 26-year-old aid worker goes on to apologize to her family for the suffering that they were experiencing because of her captivity. And then she wrote these words, "I remember Mom always telling me that all in all, in the end, the only one you really have is God. I have come to a place in my experience where, in every sense of the word, I have surrendered myself to our Creator, because literally, there is no one else." She goes on to relate, "By God, plus by your prayers, I have felt tenderly cradled in a free fall. I have been shown darkness, light, and have learned that in prison, even one can be free. I am grateful. I have come to see that there is good in every situation. Sometimes we just have to look for it." She concludes, "Please be patient. Give your pain to God. I know you would want me to remain strong. That is exactly what I am doing. Do not fear for me. Continue to pray as I will. By God's will, we will be together soon. All my everything, Kayla." Cruising with Christ. It's not a life of ease. It's not a life of comfort. But it's not a life alone. So adjust any wrong expectations you might have about life with Jesus, because it'll make it easier to go through all those disciplines that we have to feed our faith and to go through the difficulties and through the suffering. He is with us. Now, the next truth comes from verse 24, is take emergency action. In verse 24, the disciples went to Jesus and they woke him up and they told him what was going on. Those are the emergency actions that we need to take every time the waves start rocking the boat. Every time the storm starts raging and we begin to fear for our lives, we want to run to Jesus and we want to ask for help. Those two things, run to Jesus, ask for help. Simple, right? And just go to Jesus when the waves start rocking in your world. Simple. But really hard. See, we've got to battle some things. We're under this false assumption that we're pretty good sailors. You know, and so we see the storm and we're like, I can manage this boat. I can make it. I can handle this. You know, I mean, you look in there and you think disciples really didn't wake Jesus up until things got really bad. They're like, we're going to die here. We better wake him up. You know, the boat's starting to sink. It's got water in it. They couldn't keep that water out, so they run to Jesus. Do you ever have thoughts like, you know, I don't need to bother God with this. He's got some big things to handle. I mean, we got ISIS out there. We got some really bad problems in the world. My problems? Nah. You ever have thoughts like that? You ever have thoughts like, you know, God wouldn't care about this little wave or this little worry or this little fear, this little cold, this little financial problem? God wouldn't care about that stuff. He's got more important things to do. Or maybe something like this. I can't go to him today. I messed up today. I yelled at my kids, or, you know, I didn't help that lady at the grocery store that she's 85 carrying grocery bags to her car. I should have helped her. I didn't. You know, I didn't do this or I did do that. He's not happy with me, so I can't go to him. You know, all of those kind of statements, they say something about God. They just don't say the truth about God. So I want to give you some truth. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 14. You should meditate in this psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Did you catch all that? Lots of benefits in there. Lots of amazing description of a relationship with God, of what he does in our relationship with him. Forget not all the benefits and blessings of knowing God. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, persistent love and mercy, satisfaction, renewed strength, compassion, and grace. All flowing out of our God. So when the boat starts rocking, the clouds start to darken, when the wind and the rain start blowing, take emergency actions, run to Jesus, and ask for help. How do you do that? Well, you'll be glad to know that to run to Jesus doesn't mean you actually physically have to run. It's not a problem. Thank goodness. Physically, we don't have to do that. And here's some more good news. Jesus is no longer a physical man, so he doesn't get tired, so he's not asleep. You're not going to have to wake him up. Listen to Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. So all we have to do to run to Jesus is to turn and look to him in prayer. Look to him in prayer. And you can do that anywhere. To remember that he is with you. Wherever you go. He's in your boat. He's at school. He's at work. He's in the neighborhood. He's at the grocery. He's at the bank. He's at the hospital. Wherever you find yourself, he is there. Always there. Watching over. Keeping us from harm. As we come and as we go for the rest of our lives. You know, Pastor McQuan, our pastor, missionary to the Hindu Indians here in Indiana and in India. Pray for him. He's in India right now, serving Jesus there, doing his work, telling people about Jesus who've never heard his name before, telling people how to follow Jesus who just came to faith. He's there right now. Maybe he's sleeping right now, so pray that he can sleep. But anyway, pray for him. Remember that. One of the things I love about Pastor McQuan is he has this pattern in his life to run to Jesus. I mean, there could be a ripple on the lake, and he's running to Jesus. I mean, there could be a little cloud in the sky, and he's running to Jesus. How did he get like that? Well, he is living his life in such a way that he's believing the promises of God. He's believing in what the Word tells him about his God, and he's trusting him for those things. And he's been doing that for a really long time. And so when something little comes up, he runs to Jesus because he knows he can't fix it. He's positioned himself in his life that if God doesn't come through for him, things aren't going to go well for him. And you know, even if he could fix it, I don't believe McQuan would. Because he would rather see God move and calm the storm than McQuan do something to try and fix the problem. And I thought, you know, I want to be more like that. Cruising with Christ in such a way that if he doesn't calm the storm, if he doesn't come through, I'm in trouble. My boat's going under. He's got to be the solution. And so we do that by running to him. And instead of looking to man's solution or man's strength, we look to God for the solution and for strength. We run to Jesus. And then we ask for help. And I was thinking, you know, that's probably my most common prayer request. Maybe it is for you too. Asking God for help. But you know what? I don't think we do it enough. We don't do it enough. I mean, think about this. Jesus told the disciples that he was going to go away so that the Holy Spirit would come and be given to us. And he called the Holy Spirit the helper. And so God has given us himself as believers. He's given us himself. And you think about the Holy Spirit. What does he not know how to do? I mean, isn't he an expert at everything? Doesn't he know which way to go? Doesn't he know how to fix what's broken? Doesn't he? Doesn't he know how to do algebra? Doesn't he know what I should do with my life? Doesn't he know what our church needs next? So we need to run to Jesus and ask for help more. He's not going to get tired of us. He doesn't get tired of us. He's not mad at us because we messed up today. No. He wants to help. He's given us himself to be the helper. God, I need your help to not be afraid of this storm. God, I need your help to love my spouse. God, I need your help to tell my neighbor about Jesus. God, I need your help to not spend so much money. God, I need your help to learn algebra. God, I need your help to fix my car. God, I need your help to lead this church, to know what to do with my future, to forgive my friend. God, I need your help to heal. God, I need your help to get through this day. God, I need your help to remember that you are there and ready to help. He's there. There was an 85-year-old Catholic nun who was at her convent alone. And she got stuck in the elevator for 4 nights and 3 days. Now, when it first happened, she tried to push on the elevator door, but the electricity was off. She had her cell phone with her, but there was no signal. Like, you know, in an elevator, there's no signal. So the cell phone was useless. So fortunately, she had a jar of water and some carrot sticks and some cough drops. And she said to herself at first, "This can't be happening to me." And then she decided to turn that elevator into a prayer closet. And she had a little personal prayer retreat. She said, it was either panic or pray. That's what she told an interviewer for CNN. She said, "I started to see this experience as a gift. I believe that God's presence was my strength and my joy. I felt God's presence almost immediately. I felt like he provided the opportunity so I could grow closer to him." You know, this is one of those become like a little child lessons in our life, in our walk with God. You know where Jesus said, "Become like a little child so you can enter the kingdom of heaven." Become like one of these. Well, what did he mean? And there's some childlike traits that we should have with God, and that's some blind trust, and it's some innocence to help us cruise with Christ. And when we have that, we'll run to Jesus, and we'll ask for help. Maquan's got that. I want to have more of that. Now understand that his answers don't always come as immediately as they did on the lake, where the wind and the wave, they just stopped. But you will begin to see, like that nun did, that these storms that we have in our life, as we run to God, as we ask for help, there's a sweetness in that communion, not doing life alone, and the storm becomes a blessing, a gift, an opportunity to get closer. So don't forget, take emergency actions, run to Jesus, ask for help. Essential for cruising with Christ. Finally, as we cruise, we must answer critical questions. And there's two of those in the last verse. Jesus asked the disciples, "Where is your faith?" And the disciples ask each other, "Who is this who commands creation? Who is this?" Now, those are critical questions that you will answer before you ever get into the boat with Jesus. You will look to him and you will say, that's where my faith is. My faith is in him, and you will say, I know him. He is Savior and Lord. That's how we start with Jesus. But these questions are not just for new Christians. They are for any believer who's walking with the Lord, who's in the boat, on the lake, as storms come and all those things. They are for us. And they're critical questions, and we have to continue to answer them as we keep going in our life with God. Because of the storms. The storms are going to pick up. Winds and waves are going to pick up. So the first question, there's really only two answers to that question. Where's your faith? It is either in God or it is in man. Maybe yourself. It's either God or man. Jesus asked the disciples because they're terrified of the storm. They think they're dying. Their fear has swamped their faith. Now, the word says that it was a dangerous storm. So, don't think they were out of line in that. But I was kind of thinking, you would have thought that storm would have woke Jesus up. But it was actually the unbelief of the disciples that woke him up. So if you look at the boat in the middle of that storm, there's two extremes of faith in there. There's the Savior sleeping, and then there's the disciples scared to death. So one's got perfect faith, and one's got puny faith. Both of them are in the boat there. Now, we don't want to be too hard on the disciples. Okay, Jesus was not, but he did take the opportunity in the calm after the storm to ask that question, where is your faith? Now, storms will test our faith. They will test us. They will show us where our faith is. And we are natural people. We are mortal. We are, finite human beings. And so it's going to be natural for us to see storms coming and to feel some fear and get some worry and have some anxiety and even some sleeplessness when those storms come. But listen, God has given us a compass to check when we're in the middle of the storm. He's given us a compass. And it reminds us where our faith should be and who he is. Now, if you're in the middle of a storm, and you look at your emotions. If your emotions are bigger than your faith, you know you're getting off course. You're moving off course. If fear is causing you to make decisions, if worry is causing you to make decisions, those things then are taking over in your life. And you need a course correction. And so you've cruised off course. And when your boat's in the middle of this storm. And so to get it corrected, to get your faith back on God, you have to answer the second question. Who is he? Who is this man, as they said? And to do that, you go to the compass. Check the compass when you're in the middle of the storm. Sounds easy again, but it's not. Because what happens in the middle of the storm? Here's what happens every time. A storm, you can see a storm. Right? You can feel a storm. And so what happens is we're in the middle of the storm and we feel the boat rocking and we see the water coming in. We start to let the storm tell us who God is. Because we feel all those things. So we start saying things to ourselves. Where are you in this? Are you really asleep here? You not see what's going on? What's going on here? Are you really faithful? Are you really merciful? Would you let this happen to me? All that stuff's coming from when we let the storm tell us who God is. But when you go back to the truth, when you open up your Bible, and you read about who your God is, your faith finds the place to land. It finds the place to land. And remind yourself that, this man here, this is the man who tells creation what to do and it obeys. That's our God. I mean, there wasn't like a slow, gradual end to that storm. It just stopped. Imagine what the sky looked like. Imagine waves going away instantly because Jesus said so. That's our God. He is Yahweh, the Lord. He is Adonai, the Master. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He is sovereign over the universe. He has the power over creation. He is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our God. He is a strong fortress we can run into and be safe. He's a shield about us, protecting us from our enemies. He is our banner that we take into battle, rally around. He is our peace, our righteousness, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Heavenly Father. He is all of those things. Shepherd. That's our God. That's the answer to the second question. That is the one who's invited you to go cruising across the lake. Let's have our worship team come back up. Don't know where you are this morning. Maybe some of you here are kind of looking at the boat. Jesus is there asking you to go on a cruise. You haven't gotten in the boat with Jesus. You haven't really trusted Him. Got questions. Who is this? Is His death on the cross really absolved me of my sin? Is it really free me to live a life with God? That might be you this morning. If it is, let's have a conversation. Love to talk about that over lunch. I'll buy. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in the middle of a raging storm. I want to open up the altar this morning for you to run to Jesus. Just run to Jesus and ask for help. Don't worry about, you know, who or, you know, what we're going to think. We're a family here. This is a safe place. We love each other. And come on up here, ask for help, and you're going to have some other people around you to ask for help with you. Don't be shy. Maybe you're here and the sky's blue, sun's shining, water's calm. Praise Him. Thank Him for those blessings today. Have an attitude of gratitude. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we are so glad that we have the truth, that we know who You are, that we have stories like this that tell us that You're the God who commands creation and it obeys. Father, we pray that power would come alive in our lives today, that it would flow through us to people in our lives today, that You would shine through us as we go out into this world, back into storms, back into difficult places. Strengthen our weak knees, Lord. Give us a new grip on our Bibles. Fill us with Your Spirit. That's all we need. Help us to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.